What's going on, everybody? On this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, more scorned lovers from the other side, a possessed Furby, Edgegrave Dave is back with his review on the movie Pearl, and so much more. So fasten your seatbelt because you're about to hit some turbulence.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host, Ghost Joe, and do I have an awesome show for you guys. But before we get into it, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that takes their time out to listen to me. It's extremely difficult for me to find time to do a lot of this work and a lot of this stuff to get shows out. And I do have a lot of help, by the way, too. So thank you, guys. You know who you are. I'm still looking for a paranormal researcher that will take fingernail clippings as payment to help me with the show. Email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com if you're interested in being a part of the team. And now for some out-of-this-world news. So recently, a Las Vegas family reported seeing a crashed UFO. I actually talked about this last year. They reported seeing a crashed UFO and an 8 to 10 foot tall green being using. And now what they're saying is the UFO, which was a bright green light, sped across the sky. And as many as 21 people in Vegas, California, Arizona, and Utah on the night of April 30th, 2023 had actually, you know, reported this, that they seen something weird in the sky. Well, a well-respected crime scene analyst, Scott Roeder, had taken the video because there were videos and some pictures taken that night. And he took the evidence of the event and stated that the Kenmore family, who was the original ones that, you know, made a big deal and called the cops and all this stuff, it was definitely a real occurrence. There was a 911 call. And even police body cam footage showing some sort of green light going through the sky. But is it aliens? Mr. Roeder seems to think so. He states that there are no doctoring at any of any kind going on at all, and that the reaction of the family during the whole video and them seeing these beings seemed very legit. You could check out some of the pictures and video from the link in my show notes. I've never seen a UFO. I'm sure it must be pretty exciting and frightening all at the same time. Have you guys seen a UFO? Speaking of aliens and UFOs, though, the Pine Bush UFO and Paranormal Museum, located in Pine Bush, New York, in Orange County, is having their fair from Thursday, May 30th to Sunday, June 2nd. Our very own John Wright is a tour guide there. Actually, that's where I met him. It looks to be an awesome time with some live music, good food, and even an alien fashion show. Guest speakers, and a whole lot more. I'll be there. It's a great place run by great people. So show some love and come down. Even if you're not going to go down to the fair, go down there and check it out. It's not far from New York City. By the way, again, if you've ever seen a UFO, alien, or anything paranormal, give me a call at 845-600-0744 and let me know about it. I'd love to hear it. So, the last episode, I talked about a woman that broke up with her incubus boyfriend because he was ugly. This episode, we are going to talk about another interdimensional love quarrel. Miss Brocard, 40, who lives in Oxfordshire, had married a Victorian soldier post-mortem named Eduardo. But then she had divorced him because she's a aspiring singer-songwriter, had accused the ghost of cheating on her. Well, then she had acquired a possessed clown doll after spending a night at the Clown Motel in Nevada. She toured the U.S. looking and filming haunted locations around the country with the doll. And when she returned home, old Eddie was not very happy. He had been giving her the cold shoulder and the silent treatment. Miss Brocardi stated, "I can instantly tell when Eduardo has a point to make. His energy is very powerful. His presence had been very manageable these days, and I only see him from time to time. He does not like the clown, though.
He watches him, and I keep finding the clown by the door. Subtlety is not Eduardo's strong point. He has nothing to be concerned about, as I have no intention of marrying a clown ghost, although that would be funny, probably pun intended. So apparently, she was informed by the clown that he is a tortured carnival clown that used to get ridiculed for not being funny. When in Vegas, Bacardi and the clown doll partied and even visited Hollywood together. Eduardo, her old flame, just seems to be overprotective of her, and that's why she feels he's acting so distant and lifeless. Get it? Bacardi also says that the clown has been a peaceful entity, where sometimes he moves, but does nothing really. She just hopes that her and the two specters can get along well together. I'm not really sure what to say about this anymore. Let's just move on with some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave, where he reviews the movie Pearl. Let's get it, Dave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
All right, Grave Diggers, ex-Grave Dave is back. And previously on the Warped Reality podcast, when we were digging a hole for the movie X, I made a promise. And Edgegrave Dave never breaks a shovel unless if it's a broken one and the movie does deserve that rating. Because I made a promise that we would be reviewing September of 2022's Pearl, which is the next horrifying chapter in a series that we didn't even know that we needed. And the reason for this series is an extraordinary circumstance, one that will go into the horror history books. So here we go. X gonna give it to you. At this time, I'm going to execute an Edgegrave warning, spoiler alert. And you might want to put the kiddies to bed for this one, guys. As well as, you might want to hit the pause button if you have not seen the movie X. Maybe go back and watch that first. Check out that review. In addition to, if you haven't seen Pearl, oh man, there's a lot to tell. What is so fascinating about this movie is this came hot off the heels of the movie X, which had wrapped up the previous installment during COVID. Now, A24 with Little Lamb and Mad Solar Productions produced this movie. It was distributed by Universal Pictures. So while the pandemic was happening, T. West wanted to do something creative, continue the story, and actually wrote the story with Mia Goth before transforming it into the script. It had a budget of $1 million, and it had a box office draw of $10.1 million. I mean, it's just unbelievable that COVID struck so many different studios in many different ways. And while there was the impact of the pandemic, they used the film crew for Avatar: Way of the Water that were taking pandemic safety precautions and taking a break. So they were able to get this done. I mean, X came out in March of 2022, and then we have this movie that came out just months later in September of 2022. It's just an unbelievable thing. They used a lot of the same sets that they used during X, and they just completely transformed it into something else. I also find it fascinating how they're their own entities. X drew a lot of influences from films like The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, taking place in the year 1979. And then this plot took place in the year 1918 during the First World War, where everybody was isolating themselves and protecting themselves against the Spanish flu pandemic. And I even remember going to the supermarket, going to different places, and people were even comparing it to the Spanish flu pandemic and how everything would sort of eventually pan out. In this movie, Mia Goth stars just as she did in X. She was the same elderly woman, Pearl, and now this is her origin story, her backstory, living in the same house in the farm that we do see in the very first movie. She's extremely mentally ill. She's living with her German immigrant parents, and she wants to be a type of a chorus girl, a dancer, film star at that time. And her parents sort of knew what was going on with her. She just wasn't right. And the old man, Howard, from the first movie, he's gone off to war. He's not there. And she's left there waiting for her husband. There is all kinds of disturbing behavior. This is a very psychological movie. And the reason why this is such a disturbing film and in perfect A24 fashion is because this does stand on its own. I mentioned that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was an influence in the first installment. This has a painted, bright, colorful backdrop, drawing influences from such films as Mary Poppins and The Wizard of Oz. Now, you might be saying to yourself, what exactly am I getting myself into? Make no mistake, the horror, the way that it seeps in, slowly but surely and bit by bit, is really executed to perfection. I have to give Mia Goth so much credit. The acting in this movie, I'm sure, flew under the radar of the Oscars. After all, how many horror movies have you ever seen that would ever be mentioned there, right? The acting itself, the facial expressions, the screaming, the kills, the anguish, it's just done so well that just from an acting standpoint, let's even forget about the story. Let's even forget about any kind of special effects. I really am singling out Mia Goth, as the acting is just excellent. No pun intended. And yes, there is a tagline. Poster does says an extraordinary origin story. So a couple of things that I want to mention here as well. Everything is all colorful. And while, yes, there is still that Spanish flu pandemic that we're talking about, it's quite horrible that something has happened to her father. He's basically left him mute where he can't even talk in a wheelchair. And she has a very wicked mother that won't let her pursue her dreams. Probably because when she was a child, she was displaying a lot of enraged, disturbing behavior. And one of the craziest scenes actually happens in the beginning. When she goes out to the store, she finds a cornfield, and that did remind me of The Wizard of Oz with a scarecrow. She starts dancing around with it, and oh my God, there's a masturbation sequence with it. Yes, I said it. Just you might have to rewind that scene when you see it. There's that same alligator or crocodile that you see from the first movie that is used to dispose of bodies. And I love how they connect those pieces. And another thing that's very disturbing is these, her German family wants to work for everything. She's dropped off this, pig as like a meal, I guess, that they cook the entire full animal, and her mother wants no part of it. And every couple of scenes, it's just sitting out there being infested with all kinds of insects slowly rotting away. It just really paints a picture. And I don't want to give everything away, but the way that she disposes of both of her parents, basically everybody around her, it's just unbelievable. And then there's a whole like chorus girl sequence where she's dancing, she's performing, and it's sort of like a big like musical number fantasy that's going on in her head. And let's just say that she doesn't get the part. One of the best monologues just in cinema that I have seen, and I truly mean this, guys, was done in this movie. So I know that I'm giving it a lot of praise. That's just because it was done so well. And I truly believe this one does deserve a 5 out of 5 graves for being original and for just being fantastic. I'm very excited that we have another installment. I think it's going to be just a trilogy called Maxine that does come out in this year of this recording in 2024. So enjoy, Pearl. go out and check out X again, and have a good one, Ghost Show. Edgegrave out.
So thank you, Dave, for that awesome review. I always appreciate you, man. And yeah, I'm definitely going to check out X and Pearl whenever I get a chance. But now for some... So on this installment of I Read It on Reddit, this one is entitled Possessed Furby. This will probably be getting taken down because of how outlandish it sounds. But I swear upon whatever higher power there might be that what I'm about to recount here is true. I was 9 years old and staying at a friend's apartment. Let's call her Chloe for a few days. We spent most of the first day playing Minecraft. This was around the time when Minecraft was new and growing quickly in popularity. However, on the second day, I noticed that she had a red Furby boom. Mind you, Furbies made a brief comeback around then as well, and I, like most 9-year-old girls at the time, I thought they were the coolest thing ever. Chloe agreed to show me how it worked, and the two of us plus our younger sister toyed around with it for a few minutes before her sister accidentally dropped it on the couch. Normally, it's not a big deal when a Furby is dropped, especially when it's from a foot onto a couch cushion. But for some reason, the thing went haywire and turned to evil. Furbies change moods, and evil is one where they go from funny robot critters to diabolical trash gremlins with fire for eyes. The eyes change pattern depending on the mood. That's fine. Me and Chloe said they always go back to normal eventually. Well, long story short, the Furby did not go back to normal. Throughout the day, it terrorized us, moving positions by itself, saying weird stuff that wasn't in a Furby's usual vocabulary. It got to the point that we locked ourselves in the bathroom with Chloe's panicking little sister. Though it would occasionally change moods, it would always go back to evil and stay like that for hours on end. This lasted for the better part of 2 days, if I remember correctly. Finally, on the second to last day at Chloe's house, the two of us, sick of this monster and its shenanigans, I love that word, shenanigans, were in her parents' room with the Furby on the bedside table, discussing how to get rid of this thing. This is when stuff really hit the fan. I was telling Chloe that we should drop it out of our fifth-story window onto the street, let it get run over, then pour water over it, when I heard something stir on the bedside table. It was the Furby. The thing had turned itself on and was now staring at us with those awful little flame eyes. And I kid you not, this thing looked at me and said in the creepiest, tinny little voice, "I knew that." I responded with an incredulous, "Seriously?" The Furby responded, he actually responded to my question with, "Uh-huh." Chloe asked it whether it was telling the truth, but it just hemmed and hawed. Yet again, something Furbies don't do. Needless to say, we ran out of the room screaming. Chloe later went back into the room, only to run out screeching again. According to her, she tried to say bye to the Furby, only for it to bend over, hit her with its ear, and say, "Me happy I hurt her." I can't attest to whether this is true or not. After our little conversation, I wanted nothing to do with the Furby or that room. However, I can confirm that the next morning, the Furby's batteries were dead. We asked Chloe's dad to replace them, but even with the new batteries and the toy, it would not turn on. Years later, I still don't know what the hell was wrong with that Furby or how it responded to our speech. They respond to touch stimuli, but not to sound. So there's no explanation I could come up with. I've considered the possibility of a Foley, but given how rare those are, I seriously doubt it. Maybe my initial theory of the Furby being possessed by the devil was right after all. There's no way to prove that cause or my bizarre experience. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, I can't doubt that it wasn't possessed by a devil, right? But spirits that are in, you know, regular, you know, once human spirits, sometimes they, you know, make things work and make things move. Most of the time, they use energy from batteries and electricity. So that could be a possibility as well. What do you guys think? Let me know.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
All right, everybody, let's go with some Haunted eBay, shall we? So the first item is haunted, cool, cursed object, demonic attachment, extremely negative. It's going for $80 and free shipping from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. This thing just looks like a doll head with like a tiny body. It's like a weird thing. Anyway, here's the description. I found this item at an antique store and immediately felt sick and chills when looking at it. So might as well buy it, right? When it noticed me looking at it and walking away, its eyes shifted to catch my gaze. The eyes will shift when you hold it and move it. But I'm this instance, it moved on its own. I knew by the way it was presented, it was used for evil. A few spirits I have here confirm that this object has a demonic attachment and was used by someone for ritualistic voodoo purposes. Separately, the wig was added and put onto a stick with the intention to cause severe harm to someone. Because of the extreme negativity curse placed upon it, it is a demon attached. One of the previous owners, of not of the last, conjured up something extremely dark. They had the demon aid in their craft. I will say, although there is severe activity, the demon is not looking to harm me or focus on me. If anything, it almost seems as if it's inviting me and wanting me to continue the ritual onto someone else. Now, if you are into something like that, I am not, you would need to work closely with this demon and it will help you curse the person you are trying to curse. Listen, I've seen Drag Me to Hell, okay? I'm not going to buy this thing. I will never say I condone this, though. The activity I'll hear is audible voices in different languages, whispers, tapping, the eyes will move, and you'll feel cold spots. It is very active with paranormal tools as well. Yeah, that's not a terrible price for a haunted item, I guess, but sounds a little sketchy to me. I don't know about you guys. So on to the next item. Real haunted accordion plays randomly on its own. It's going for $249 from Mount Vernon, Texas. Here are the details. So the haunted accordion's name is Tom. They don't know the age. The energy type is intelligent and positive. Confirmed activity, EMF, spirit box, tapping and knocking, accordion notes play by itself, as well as disembodied voices. Here is a very unique spirited vessel that has some really awesome activity. The haunted accordion has an energy of an adult male named either Tom or Thomas. That's the same name. The reason we don't know for sure is the previous owner, as well as our team, was able to get the name Tom during the investigations, but also Thomas. We also believe that the spirit who does respond to being called Tom is from Polish descent. The coolest type of activity that we were excited to confirm and experience was hearing the accordion play phantomly. During our team's investigation, we all had the hairs stand up on the back of our necks when we heard it. We were also able to hear it again when it was placed back into the vehicle after investigation. It was placed in the back seat with the car door still open. We were all still talking about it about 15 yards away when all of a sudden we heard the accordion sound off again. So yeah, that's kind of crazy. I wonder if it knows any Weird Al songs. All right, so now let's end this segment on a high note, or on a good note, shall we? So the last item is haunted, possessed, highly active, spirit, car accident. I don't know why all that's in the description, but it's basically a drinking glass, okay? It's a buy it now price for $15.84, and it doesn't say where it's coming from, oddly, but that's a great price. So here's the description. The 1992 Olympic Games glass of, Esther, the cheerful specter. This seemingly ordinary glass, measuring 4 inches by 4 inches, holds the energetic spirit of Esther Miller, once a clear drinking glass with the colorful logo of the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games. Esther wasn't a world famous athlete, but her passion for competition was bright. Born in 1952 in Des Moines, Iowa, Esther dedicated most of her time to synchronized swimming. While she never qualified for it, she thrived in the camaraderie and challenge of local competitions. cheerful and supportive nature made her favorite amongst her team. Her unwavering enthusiasm was contagious. Sadly, Esther passed away in a car accident in 1993 at the young, a misplaced sense of adventure and a sudden downpour are believed culprits. Esther's spirit, however, remains attached to the 1992 Olympic class, a cherished memento from her last competition. So what to expect with this? Esther's spirit is playful and energetic. You might experience gentle encouragement and a surge of motivation to pursue you and your goals. Unexplained bursts of positive energy, particularly when watching events or engaging in physical activity, could be a sign of Esther's. The glass itself may vibrate slightly during moments of excitement. Emblematic colors might seem to shimmer faintly. Offerings. Esther would be delighted by small tokens that celebrate the Olympic miniature, Olympic flag displayed near the glass, a commemorative recent competition, or even playing recordings of famous Olympics would all be appreciated gestures. We acquired the 1992 Olympic Games glass from a flea market in Wisconsin. The vendor mentioned it felt strangely cold to the touch and that they often saw dust, motes swirling around it, even on calm days. Esther's presence is a positive and motivating one. If you're looking for a spirit who will add a touch of playful energy and a sprinkle of competitive spirit to your life, then Esther might be the perfect match for you. Happy haunting! Listen, if you wanted to try and get like just a little haunted item, that one might be the one for you if you want to check it out. But, you know, as always, I, Ghost Joe, and the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast take no responsibility if you purchase any of these items and they do or do not cause any paranormal activity. Bid at your own risk. So that's going to do it for me, everybody. Please stay tuned as I'm going to be trying to put out regular shows. Also, if you want, you could actually look me up on YouTube now. I have all of the episodes are on YouTube. There's just, you know, a static picture, but you'll be able to hear all of the episodes right off of YouTube. So just look up the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast and I'll be there. Have a great night, everybody, and see you later. Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.